Everybody, your host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show, freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Amplify our efforts, please, because we have a nation to some extent that a lot of people are choosing willfully to remain ignorant. So please share. There's an old saying with the Nazis, tell a big enough lie often enough that people come to believe it. Well, the inverse is true, too. Tell the truth often enough and people will come to understand it and they'll understand the need for action. So please share. Hey, we're brought to you by one of my favorites, the Magic Dicol products. They've changed my life. You've been following me at all. You saw me when I had the fever blisters. You knew I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. And that was a little over 3 months ago. Well, I'm doing things now I haven't done in 25 years. The products from Magic Dicol, or we call it, I Want My Health Back, they have restored my life and they have improved my lifestyle to a level that I didn't think was possible again. And it's just not what I had with the strip lung linings and the bone on bone knee and all that stuff. They have things for just about everything that could affect you. I want to send you to a website. You can see the testimonials. You've heard mine. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. And like I said, I owe these people my life. I was in big trouble. I was told, you're going to be on oxygen, Dave, if this doesn't reverse. Well, I've now been to the senior pulmonologist, my general practitioner, all said the same thing. We're absolutely amazed, Dave. How did you do this? And I told them, doctors don't want to hear that part of it. Dave, the fact you're in the gym every day, that's great. But, you know, let me tell you, I wouldn't have been in the gym every day if I hadn't taken these products. I want my healthback.com/Dave Hodges. And we have Paul Preston with us, the president of the New California Movement, the host of the very popular show Agenda 21 Radio. And Paul and I are going to talk about California is broke as a joke and where it's headed and what's going to happen. And in addition, I think we're going to be talking about some of the Chinese infiltration and where these two stories may meet. And this is very, very serious. And I guarantee you're getting exclusive material here tonight. Paul, glad you could join us, my friend. Let's start with New California. Give us some updates on what's going on, because you guys have been at this for a long time. Your persistence is notable. Are you going to become the 51st state?
Yeah, Dave, we are going to become the 51st state. It's very much an inevitability for everybody to understand that at this point in time. We followed the Constitution explicitly, Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution and Article 4, Section 4. And we are well in play. You know, as we started this whole thing, we declared independence on January 15th, 2018, over 6 years ago. And since then, we've had 12 constitutional conventions. We've written a constitution. We have a stand-up legislature, which is passing not only resolutions, but bills now that we hope that when we become a state, we're going to enact them day one. So we're preparing to make that quest to the next step, which is really to go on to Congress. Now, as part of our process, the lead up to this, I mentioned earlier, we declared independence. Very important to do that if you want to become a new state, to do that. Every time a state has said that they declare themselves independent, they actually say that they are a state at that point in time in terms of the law. But when they go on and they reach constitutional standing by having the conventions and building your constitution and doing your grievances, we've read 190 grievances in the public square at the county superior court buildings over the course of the last 4 years. We've also gone to the front of the Capitol, and we're now into our 15th declaration of default, believe it or not. We're reading these. We're going to have a big rally. Proclamation rally down at the state capitol again. That's going to be on the 27th of this month. We have gone to Congress one time. We went last year. We sent a delegation there. We put paperwork in for statehood with Kevin McCarthy. That did not go as we wanted it, but we had to make ourselves present. And mostly we wanted to anticipate where we were anticipating that the financial collapse of California would come at this time. A year after our initial contact with Congress, we were trying to develop a relationship with the speaker, but the speaker was taken out That doesn't deter us. We are going back at the end of this month. In the last couple of days of June, we'll be in Congress delivering more paper to Mike Johnson and other delegates, other people. We're going to be looking at some senators and having meetings with senators and members of the House of Representatives to help sponsor the necessary resolutions to get statehood. And if this all goes right and the timing is correct, we could be a state by the end of July.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm glad I wasn't drinking anything. I would have choked hard.
I saw that. But this is not that far out of reach, that this is a possibility that is a much bigger one than people realize. And that's because of the magnitude of the California financial collapse in state government. It is enormous. It is huge. Let's not kid ourselves. This is the biggest financial collapse of a government in world history ever.
Yeah.
And it's getting deeper every day. Now, the responsibility for this, because California is a compact state within the union, relies upon the other states to pay it off. Now, I don't think that's fair. I think that's awful. And it's interesting because, you know, people like the progressives, like Pelosi and all these, they want to destroy the United States. And this is the best way to do it. You know, have their biggest state fail like this financially. You know, you saw what Reagan did to the Soviet Union. It was a financial collapse that they couldn't withstand. They're trying to do the same thing here. So what we're doing is we're saying, no, we're not going to tolerate that. We're going to utilize the Congress. We're going to form a new state that's going to have clean credit, clean opportunity go out and bring business in. California can't do that now. California does not have clean credit. It doesn't have the ability to borrow any kind of money to stand itself up. And it's run every business out and every industry out of California because of its excessive taxation, extortion taxation, the California Air Resources Board, the CARB, all this other stuff that doesn't need to be in governance. They've run and ruined the state. So they don't have a tax base to get money from. So we're going to offer up a whole new economy in the new California state movement. And that economy will be a capitalistic economy. Obviously, we'll have a new constitution, which California governs itself with a corporate constitution right now, which has, you know, been modified since its inception as a corporate constitution in 1879. Over 900 times that constitution, which is a corporate one, amended, Dave. How do you amend a constitution 900 times and stand up? You don't. So it's impossible. You can see what they've done is they've tied themselves in knots like a corporation. This is not governance of people that they're following, and we will follow that. So a new constitution that brings back the rule of the constitution. This is the 1783 constitution by the founding fathers. There's only one constitution in the nation. Let's not be fooled by the 1871 DC business. That's all hocus pocus. Now, some of your states have gone on and adopted a different constitution, a progressive. Look at their adoptions of these. These are communist progressive constitutions that have been adopted by several states, Illinois being one of them. You look around. Listen, I'll play a game with your audience.
Okay.
First of all, it's California that adopted one. They're bankrupt. Illinois is bankrupt. New York is bankrupt. And they went this route where they didn't follow their own constitution. And now you have the United States and the federal government, as an example, not following the constitution either with Biden. I mean, a simple test to find out if your constitution is being followed in your state is to go to Article 4, Section 4 of the constitution and say to yourself, read it and say, well, first of all, there's a guarantee there that the state and the federal government has to guarantee to you a Republican form of government, which is a representative government, not a democracy. And are you free from invasion and are you free from domestic violence? And if they answer no to any of those things, guess what? They are not following the Constitution, and you have a right and a duty to change that as a citizen, which is exactly what we're doing right here. We're offering that now. I think it's really about time that the nation have a national conversation about the Constitution and go back to the Constitution. Don't give me these things about we have to have a constitutional convention.
No.
We have to live by the Constitution we have now. That's where we're wrong. No one's listening to it. You listen to Congress and you listen to these guys talk. None of them are really offering any kind of laws that adhere to the Constitution. None of them. Some of them do. You saw, Anna Paulina Luna? She put in some things with Mayorkas, and so did Marjorie Taylor Greene. They had some constitutionality to them. But really, the Constitution is not being followed in Congress. It's certainly not being followed at the local level. People aren't swearing the oath of office. California out here, Gavin Newsom and Secretary of State, or Secretary of State out here, they both swore their oath of office. And this is how they swore their oath of office. They said that I will protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of California. That's it. And that was the original constitutional oath that they put in the 1849 Constitution. In 1856, they adopted the rest of it, which says against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, they didn't say that. None of these people have said the proper oath, a proper oath of office that goes to the Constitution. That's why we have so much lawlessness breaking out in these states.
Is it an invalid oath, Paul? Is it actionable?
Absolutely invalid.
Is it actionable?
You know, they can be sued. They can be arrested.
Okay.
Yeah, they certainly can.
Is that going to happen?
I don't know. Not in my bailiwick, because we got too many things going on. As a sideshow, probably somebody's going to challenge him on it. You know, Gavin Newsom was challenged on it, and he got a fine for $1.3 million.
What?
That was back in the there was a church in Pasadena, California, and he was trying to close them down. And, of course, he was violating their First Amendment rights, so freedom of religion and freedom of speech. And so the judge in the case ordered him to pay a fine of $1.3 million because he did not adhere to his oath of office. That did happen. Now, he's been fined once for that. I don't have $1.3 million to just shell over at the table.
Get fined personally, or was it the
personally.
State that had to pay? Oh, really?
It was not the state, personally.
Has he paid it?
Yes. In fact, they wouldn't let him out of the court situation he was in until the bailiff got the money wired to him.
Holy crap. I understand why this wasn't in the mainstream media.
Yeah, of course not.
Oh, my gosh. When did this happen?
This happened early on in the COVID. I can't remember the name of the Pasadena church. And I know that listeners will wire me and let me know. And tomorrow morning, I'll wake up and think about it some more. But this is something you have to get the right circumstance, the right decision maker, sometimes in California courts. And so that's what happened. You have a number of churches who did not close, who got fined by the state of California, and they took them to church, or they took them to court, and the court really backed up the churches, because didn't matter what the state was saying. Your constitutional rights don't go away because of a disease.
I agree. I totally agree with that. Here's something that really bothered me, and not to stay stuck on this issue too long, but one of the things that really bothered me was the strip clubs and casinos stayed open, but the churches and the schools had to close. There should have been fines on that too.
Well, you had the liquor stores and you had the marijuana places too.
Yeah, amazing. What I can't believe didn't happen, Paul? Is that when they closed down the regular businesses, but they left the box stores open to do business, they made record profits while people went out of business. That's a 14th Amendment issue. I can't believe there wasn't action on that.
I don't think people know how to take action under these circumstances. And the globalists live under these things. You know, you're taking a look at different levels of authority, and how there's several different layers, if you will, of levels of authority, financially primarily, that people live by.
Okay.
So these people have more resources in terms of attorneys and access, and it's a different financial situation than what you and I would understand. And they live in that world. They don't live in the world we live in. And when somebody can see the wrongs that they're doing, and we're able to combat it, that's a little bit different. But we do have the laws and everything to combat it. The problem is who is going to enforce those laws that we want to have them enforced on
that's
those
the
people?
Big question. Yeah, you're exactly right.
And that's where the Constitution, these globalists have to destroy the Constitution to destroy this country.
Well, they are trying to do that. You know, you're so right about enforcement. I'll give you one example. I watched on YouTube today, Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan grill Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI. And they read excerpts from emails that are now public record, okay, from Hunter Biden chastising a Chinese company for not making the payoff. I'm sitting here with my father, and you're going to feel the revenge. And I'm paraphrasing, but this is basically
right.
what he said. Then we have the big guy reference. We have Tony Bobulinski's testimony. I mean, Biden is guilty of malfeasance of office, taking bribes, and treason. I mean, that's all been established now as part of the public record. But who's going to go after him?
Who's adhering to the Constitution? Because going after them, you must adhere to the Constitution. And that's the easy part. If you're adhering to the Constitution, if you're adhering by the oath of office, by which it's very public that members of Congress have sworn the proper Constitution, if you're executing on that, there should be no problem here. And they should feel comfortable doing that, because that's what the founding fathers wanted. And that's what we have to get back to. They're just not doing these things. They're just not adhering to the Constitution. And as a result, this is what you get. You get reflexive laws, laws that are made up along the way, laws that can be tailored because you sit there and think a certain thing should happen. So therefore, it's going to happen that way. And there you go. That's the law. That's what they do. It's called reflexive law, and the liberals use it a lot, and especially the progressives that have this pernicious variety of totalitarianism.
The Supreme Court is MIA too, and I'll give you just one example of that. They ruled against the constitutionality of student loan debt forgiveness, and then Biden's going ahead and doing it anyway.
Right.
Would that have the Supreme Court? I mean, couldn't they order the U.S. Marshals to go after Biden?
There needs to be another case brought before the court. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And what happens in the game that they're playing is that's going to take a good 6 months to a year before that case is brought before the court. See, the court got it wrong. They should have put provisos. And you know, they're giving them a chance because somebody's going to come back to this and do what I'm saying. They're going to go back and say, you know, that is another law. They're violated what he said. We're going to take him to court because that's what the court wants to see. The court does not want to get into regulations or anything. And so either that or somebody could take it to the legislature to get a law written. But I suspect it'll be challenged in the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will then go back and say, well, you know, wait a minute. We're going to now put sanctions on you because of what you did. And you're violating your oath of office. And so that's what really happened with Newsom in that case. He got caught violating his oath of office. He was violating people's constitutional rights. And that is what's going to get Biden in trouble with the Supreme Court.
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, there's another 14th Amendment issue. Biden takes records illegally as vice president, right? But he can't be tried because of his age, yet he can have his finger on the nuclear button. And then Trump, on the other hand, takes it legally. You can carry anything you want out of the White House if you're the president. Now it's declassified. It's automatic. And yet they're going after him for that with a special prosecutor that wasn't even appointed properly. I mean, I just shake my head at what's going on here. And Paul, there needs to come a time when America just says, oh, we're not going to pick up the guns, but we just ain't going to do what you tell us.
Well, I think you're seeing a lot of that. There's a lot of passive resistance that's starting to build. And people are just not conforming. Yeah, there's a lot of it. And we see this in Second Amendment issues a lot, where people are not abiding by the Second Amendment laws and restrictions in California. They're just one law after another. And people are just saying, forget about it. We're just not going to follow what they're saying. And there's just a point at which, you know, California has always been known as sort of a law a law state in the sense that it writes so many laws. There's so many laws, and Antonin Scalia said it best. You know, with the regulatory agencies and the laws that promulgated these regulatory agencies and the numbers of regulations upon regulations that they write, that pretty soon the laws become meaningless. And that was his quote, basically. And he's right. And that's what we're seeing right now, especially out here in California. California will put out over 3,000 laws per year. They'll offer up, and about maybe 900 to 12, maybe 1,300 of them will get through as laws. Well, you know, that's every year. Now think about every year. So you think about that. In 10 years, they've had, you know, 1,000, 1,100, 1,200 new laws introduced. And what the regulatory agencies, you know, that blossoms to billions of dollars. And that's what we have out here now. That's one of the reasons why we have such a massive physical debt and problem out here.
Yeah. We're talking with Paul Preston, the president of the New California Movement, host of Gen 21 Radio. And if you're just joining us, he just made the bold proclamation that it's possible, if everything goes correctly, New California could be the 51st state by the end of July. So actually, I think we're talking to Governor Paul Preston. We should be so honored to give your first interview as governor. Listen, Paul, I'm telling you right now, those people didn't put you in as governor. If this happens, I don't know who they'd get. Unless you're like me, I have a disdain for ever holding a political office.
Yeah. Well, actually, in the 11th Constitutional Convention, I was nominated, and there was unanimous vote between the Assembly and the Senate to make me governor pro tempore.
No.
So I am officially the governor pro tempore, not elected, but you have to have somebody who's doing these sort of things just to kind of get things to go.
Okay. All right. That sounds really good. Now I want to get to another issue here because I think it's related to California's debt. As we talked about on the phone last night, I have pictures and videos, so people can't tell me this isn't true. I have Border Patrol people telling me this is true. We're getting about 10,000 CHICOMs every month crossing, and I'm talking CHICOM soldiers, the PLA folks. And I held up the pictures, and I said, look, parade at rest. Backpack at their right foot. They're almost standing at attention when they're talking to the Border Patrol. Look at other immigrants. These people are walking in straight lines, unlike immigrants that are just a mass or a horde. So clearly they're soldiers. No women, no kids. I'm getting reports that they're being housed at Hotel Circle and places like the Ramada Inn, that they're crossing into Camp Pendleton, and the non-coms are pissed because they're being forced to train them. Dick Durbin's come out in a video and said we should make all illegals who want to join the military U.S. citizens immediately. And that's a video, folks, I have played on my website. So, Paul, given all this, in your opinion, what are the CHICOMs doing only coming to California? They're not in Arizona. They're not in Texas. They're just in California. What do you make of this?
I think this is the occupation force. That's what I think. And we watch San Diego. We have numerous people down in San Diego that watch for us. I have three Border Patrol agents. One's a retired one, and I have two active ones. One is in San Diego. And they report to me all the time. Now they do. But we also have new Californians down there. But I don't think people, if you're not in San Diego, if you're in San Diego, you're totally getting what I'm talking about here. But people don't really understand the magnitude of what's going on in San Diego and in Imperial counties down there, and even Riverside and San Bernardino counties, because the massive numbers that are coming across the borders at Yohumba, and also in San Diego proper is just overwhelming. About a month ago, I sat with... not in this studio, but my other studio, with one of our people down in San Diego who lives right there in Yohumba, Yohumba. And I sat there with him. And the first thing he did is, I want you to see this. And he takes his phone, and he has a sliding door. He's right up to the border, his house is. And he takes his phone and he focuses in on a Border Patrol truck that pulls up and it stops. And then he says, this is why he's stopping. So he turns it a little bit more and there's a long string of men, military aged men, high and tight haircuts with the bags at their feet, just exactly as you described. We estimated at least 1,000 of them had come across at that point. That was in the afternoon on Friday. We continued, and he would call me and said, we got another batch. So he'd show me the batch. We estimated that between that Friday afternoon and Monday morning, at least 7,000 came across, and these were military-age men. That 2 days after that, it was reported. Now, they were all released. We don't know where they went, except for we think 29 Palms and Camp Pendleton and in some of the places around towns. But they released 4,000 in San Diego, in downtown San Diego, in one day. I think it was about the Wednesday or so. So that was about a month, less than a month ago. This is what's going on every day, Dave. And, you know, this is why we're pounding on the table to stop all this, you know, seal the border, because this is called an invasion. And this is my point exactly, that if you are in the government and you're not abiding by your oath and you're allowing this invasion to go through, then it's treason. It can't be anything else but that.
It is treason. I agree. I don't know the aggregate number that are in the area. I just been told it's 10,000 a month. How many months has this been going on? Do you have any information on that?
Well, this has been going on since January. Actually, it was even before that. But the heaviness, they got even heavier because Texas stood up to them in February.
Yeah, but the Chinese really weren't trying to cross into Texas and New Mexico. It's specific to California.
To California. We were reporting, you said, your source and my source said that people were being trained, Chinese were being trained at Pendleton.
Yes, I'm sure of that.
Yeah. And
I'll name my source. It was one of my sources out of three, Jamie Walden. I can't talk about the other two. Jamie Walden's ex-Marine, knows people on the base. He told me they're pissed because they're having to train these guys. And someone suggested, well, Dave, they could be from Taiwan. No one would be pissed. Taiwan's an ally. The non-coms would welcome training the Taiwanese because they'll be doing the fighting rather than the Marines. So they would like that. No, it's not Taiwan. It's China. It's the PLA. It's the army. And they're here. Do you have any evidence that they're being dispersed throughout the state, or is it concentrated in the southern part?
Right now it's concentrated in the southern part. We are in an observation phase and we are watching things unfold, we think. And we think that sometime a little bit later on in the summer, we're going to start to see, especially as the warm-up to the elections, we're going to start to see a lot more activity out of these Chinese. As the economy falters, and again, the economy in California is faltering like this, because this is what the thinking is with Gavin Newsom, which matches exactly what the Chinese do. The state of California and any state in the union cannot declare bankruptcy. But what happens is that there's this quagmire of repayments that goes from a state as it tries to get its economic viability on it back up on its feet. It goes for months. It can go. This malaise could go on for years. That's what we're trying to stop by bringing in New California. But what it does do is it allows for, and the government, the laws provide this, that the state might not go bankrupt, but your counties, your school districts, all your other sub entities, cities, they can go bankrupt.
Yeah.
So the states run out of money, and now we've got counties that are running out of money. We got school districts that are running out of money. They're in deep into the reserves. Many of them, their reserves end at the end of this month. So chaos ensues. Now, what China has done, and this is important, what China has done is that they've deliberately bankrupted many nations by coming in. They're trying to build their Belt and Road business. They'll come in, oh, we'll build you a harbor and we'll finance it. Well, they offer them financing in the harbor, something that they know that their GDP will never allow them to do, to pay it back. And so what happens is the Chinese are there, oh, we'll just take it over and take over your country. So that's what they're trying to do.
So they buy the debt, and when the debt remains unpaid, then they start seizing assets.
Right. And in their mind, I think they've already got, they've already bought it off, and they're going to seize assets. That's what I think.
You know, when Xi Jinping came to the Bay Area,
right,
I found it curious that Newsom blew off Biden for the most part and exclusively spent the time with Xi Jinping behind closed doors.
Yeah, I think that's their plan, and we're here to stop it.
Yeah, I talked to Doug Thornton about this, and he was a special agent in charge Homeland Security in Portland during the Antifa riots.
Right, I remember,
And it was during that time, he was going by the name Wrecker then because he didn't feel he could go on the record with me, but he wanted to get the word out about what was truly happening. So he used to come on and we couldn't show his face and we just had Wrecker, R-E-K-K-E-R. And I remember we talked about three weapons caches, large weapons caches with big time automatic weapons and then RPGs and so forth. And I asked him, I said, do you think there's any way related to what you're doing in Portland? He says, no. He goes, that's not Antifa's MO. And I said, well, who do you think it's for? He goes, the Chinese that are slowly filtering into the country. And that was his answer back in the Antifa riots in Portland. And what a prophet he was, because now, do you have any evidence now of pre-set weapons caches in California that would help supply these troops?
Well, I saw the I can go back as far as 1989, and I've told this story several times. Over the years, and I've often been curious about it, but now I know because over the last couple of years we've put it two and two together. It's pretty simple. But when my parents both passed away, they had a trust and a will, and I became the trustee and the executor. And part of my responsibility was to look for new investments for their trust. And so a friend of mine said, I need to go out to Ontario, California, and which was, I lived in that area. And they said, go out there and talk to so-and-so. He's a broker. He'll tell you about their real estate investment trust or REITs. And it'd be a good investment. They're building in a lot of commercial buildings and things like that. So 1989, Dave. So I drive out there and meet him in a building that was right at the end of the tarmac for Ontario Airport. And we went in the building. It was a commercial building, and he was I wasn't there to buy it, but the REIT, that he was in had invested in it. And we were talking about this, that, and the other. So I finally went out to the car and started getting out the car, and I looked over the top of the hood of the car, and I could see this stretch, looked like a 707 stretch, taking pallets, olive gray or olive drab pallets off the plane and putting it on the tarmac. And they were weapons crates, as you could tell. And so I said to the guy, I said, God, look at all those weapons or crates that they have stacked up over there. He goes, oh, yeah, we have those coming here all the time. And I went, what? And he said, they're coming in from China. 1989, Dave. And I turned to him and I said, well, where do they go? Well, we store them in these buildings that are empty around here. They're great cash flow. These things are stored there. I said, okay, so let me stop you here. This is 1989, and the Chinese are delivering weapons to Ontario. And he looked at me, and he kind of like, yeah, that is kind of weird, isn't it? I said, yeah, that was 1989. And now we know what they're there for. There's other places like Van Nuys, and there's other places like Sacramento around the state. And my understanding is there are eyes on numerous caches at this point in time, in the Southwest in particular, and that there's going to be some action taken against them, from what I understand. I'll just put that out there.
Okay. Can you be a little more specific about what kind of action would be taken and who would be taking it?
I can't. I can't do that.
Evaluate what I'm going to say. I don't see a private militia being successful. I see what's often called the white hat military finally coming together and taking independent action.
Yeah, there's going to be independent action taken.
The reason I say that, Paul, is I got to be careful what I say here. My source for this, and I had one source, but then I've had it verified by somebody else. The one source was very close to me, and I got to be careful. They had occasion to talk to various base commanders, and there are at least three of them that says when the poop hits the fan, Biden's not in our answers or prayers or our picture. We're going to do what we need to be done. We're going to do what needs to be done. And this was almost a uniform statement. In other words, there seemed to be some cohesion based on what I was getting, not just independent ramblings about I'm dissatisfied and gee, maybe we should do this. It sounded like there was a plan of action. That's what I'm telling you.
Well, that's what I would interpret from what I've been told, and I really can't divulge anything other than there are people that have their eyes on these things, and there will be some sort of, I think, stoppage that's going to happen there.
I'll repeat what Scotty Sachs.
I think it's just
Go
what I don't think the opposition understands is that apparently they just think we're a bunch of stupidos and we can't
ahead. They
see
do.
this, and that, so they have no regard for us. But we people, it's not just you and I, Dave, who see this. There's other people who see this and are doing something about it, and they're not going to let this happen. And I think that that's something that I guess they just have totally underestimated the American people. Obviously, they have. There's no question about that. But I think you're going to see some things happen in the next several months because of the elections, and they're going to try and stop the elections and do
I
everything they
agree.
possibly can. We are still doing everything we possibly can to get away from the Dominion machines, which we're going to do. All the machines for elections and get paper ballots and same day voting. These are all things that we're going to be doing. And I think that at the end of the day, we will have an election that will be free and fair, which is what they don't want to have. Now, some people are going to say we're not going to have an election. This probability is very good. I'd say it's 50-50 at this point.
I just pulled out some notes I made earlier in the day. Do you know of a lady named Maria Zach, who's part of Nations in Action?
I've heard the name before. I've heard that name before.
She gave congressional testimony where she played a tape, and then she cited intelligence sources out of Italy that weren't on board and
Yes.
stolen votes from the machines in
I've
Italy.
interviewed her, Maria Zach. Yes, I've interviewed her.
Okay. What was your impression of her position? Do you believe her?
I do.
Yeah, I agree with you about the Dominion machines. I published an article from a third-party source on my website. I believe it was Saturday the 15th. And in that, they detailed many problems with the Dominion voting machines in the primary elections. I mean, nothing's changed.
Nothing.
Nothing has changed. And if we allow these machines to stay on the job, if they do have an election, Paul, what I'm wondering here is they'd have to steal, I think, 80 to 85% of the vote from
Oh,
what I was.
yeah.
Let me tell you why I say that. Martin Armstrong came out publicly and said Biden's approval rating is 9%. I have two sources in the military. One of them's Pentagon related, and he knows the people that look at this, and they're saying it's 11 to 12%. Either way, they got to steal 85% of the vote to make a big enough difference to swing the election. That's a pretty tall order, and I'm not sure the machines could do it. What do you think?
Well, the machines can do it because all you need to do is like what happened in California. Donald Trump wins California in 2020, 15,800,000 votes to Joe Biden's 4,600,000 votes. And they just electronically flipped it so that Biden had 11 million and Trump had 6 million.
So you
That's what
think it's
happened.
possible to cheat that much?
We saw it in California in 2020.
Okay, that's a good answer. I think that's part of me thinks it's so overwhelming to do that
No,
and
they
not
got.
get caught.
I can tell you that they got pinched for time because they had the pressure of coming up with the numbers, the right numbers of votes, so that Biden would win California, so that because they have to certify the vote and send it off to Congress for the 55 electoral votes. So they were under a great deal of pressure, and it was Alex Padilla who was there, by the way, who was Secretary of State. Alex Padilla and the certificate of authenticity that has to be signed was never signed by the Secretary of State of California. It was signed by the governor. It's invalid.
Yeah.
And in fact, who signed it was Shirley Weber, his replacement in April 7th of 2021 is when she signed it. Now, Alex Padilla never signed the document. And now Alex Padilla is a lawyer, and he would never sign something that he would perjure himself on. That's exactly what he did.
Where was Trump? Why wasn't there a legal challenge put before
there was a court? Listen, there was a legal challenge. It was from New California and Paul Preston. And what happened is the court locked us out and would not hear the case, Dave.
That's because the Justice Roberts is compromised. You don't have to agree with me. That's my view.
Well, that would have stopped the case cold.
Oh, well, if they can steal the election that easily, then why do we think there may not be an election because Trump could win?
I think people are pissed and they don't want to lose the population. That's one of the things. I think that they, as I've always said about these people, they overplayed their hand. They went from a 2050 proposition for the takeover of the United States, which I thought was reasonable if you're going to take over the country. They went from that to 2030 and then to 2023. Why? Because they're old and they want to see it happen now in their lifetimes. This is what I've always said. And I've said the other thing, too.
Right.
Even if they had waited till 2025, they could have gotten away with it. But one of the things that has stood in their way, Dave, is the gray-haired Tea Party types. And I said this when I first started realizing what they were trying to do because I was deeply involved with the Tea Party. And I said to them in the Tea Party, I said, look, they're not going to succeed because all you gray hairs, you guys are the institutional memory about the U.S. Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to destroy it. They have to destroy it and any remnant of it so that people don't follow it because it smacks, it stops the totalitarians cold. So I think that as we look at this, and the fight's not over by any stretch of the imagination, but I think they've overplayed their hand, and I think now it's going to be really a fight to the finish here because they're called out. They don't have the support they think they have. It's very clear, and they certainly don't have the support with the people. There's no question about that. So, and Trump has remained, and as far as I'm concerned, Trump is still the president. He still acts like the president. He talks like the president. He's always out in the public, as our president should be. So the Biden situation has just gotten worse for him, and the people are seeing it and they're not liking it. So
okay.
I think the truth has also been coming out about the deep state, and I credit Donald Trump with that.
Well, you know what's interesting is here in Arizona. As you know, nearly 60% of the voting machines upon opening in heavy Republican districts in Maricopa County failed. Estimated 150,000 people minimum were disenfranchised. And Kerry Lake lost by 17,000 votes, with lost votes in hanging there in the Republican districts. And the people know it. You really have to talk to someone who's just an ignoramus or blind loyalty to the liberal cause for them not to know it. But people kind of like, well, what do we do? We know the election was stolen. That's the general attitude here in Arizona.
There's nothing we can do about it.
But here's a flip I've seen in Arizona. This is an interesting flip. Katie Hobbs is now clearly the governor of Arizona, clearly implicated in accepting a $400,000 campaign bribe mm-hmm. by granting a favor of exemption to allow a state-sponsored agency to raise their in-care patient facility rate. And no one else was allowed to do it but them, and they donated $400,000 to Katie Hobbs. Okay, so even the Arizona Republic, the most liberal rag sheet, not even fit to housebreak your puppy on, has come out against her, and they convinced me when I read this that it's true. And because I'm thinking, man, even the liberals have turned on her. The paper's fighting for survival right now. And I think this is a move where they have ditched Katie Hobbs to try to enhance their position with the public. So
yeah,
they'll get
how
more
about they tell the truth every once in a while is what they're doing.
That's exactly. And they're doing it for financial survival. And they figure they're going to ditch Katie Hobbs. But the problem is, in Arizona, Paul, if Katie Hobbs goes away over this, the governor is Adrian Fontes, who's the cartel lawyer.
Right, he's a cartel. You and I go back with him for years.
Oh, yeah. Well, he defended the cartel murders of Agent Brian Terry.
Right.
Patrol. And it was Fast and Furious guns delivered under the auspices of Obama and Eric Holder. And so that would be the governor. And you've told me, too, that it's known in California circles. He represents the cartel interests
yep.
in the casinos.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, that's who would be the governor. But I look at it and I'm telling you, the worm is kind of turning with the public, though. 2020 election theft, well, conspiracy theory, free and fair election. Not many people in the public believe that anymore. They don't. They see too much support for Trump.
Right.
And it's kind of like, do I believe the media or do I believe my lying eyes?
Well, you know, and there's too much support for Trump, which flies in the face of the reality of people who got elected.
Yeah,
you know, that's the other thing.
That's absolutely true here. And I think that at the end of the day, Paul, what we're going to end up seeing here is there's going to be a grassroots rebellion. I just don't know what form it's going to take. But the question I have, will the white hat military beat the public to the punch? To me, that's the only thing to be. Look, I know there's a white hat military. Okay. I know the people are pissed. Who's going to act first, in your opinion? Will it be the military or the people?
Well, that's a tough one. The military or the people are already taking action in terms of the things to do, like New California.
New California,
that's a constitutional
exactly.
process.
Yep.
But you know, if you get it, if you push this around more, and they start to try to impose more illegal laws and sanctions and stuff like that, and or start to make arrests. I think if you start to see arrests in California of dissidents, so-called dissidents, and it's like the J6ers type of thing from California State or the feds rounding people up, then you're going to see a big problem. You're going to see a big problem that could get violent. And I hope, you know, we pray that this does not happen. That's the last thing we want. But everybody has their tolerances and their limits. And, you know, the last thing they want to do is really piss off the American people to that point, because it's all game on after that.
You know,
and I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying, look at the Japanese figured out when they bombed Pearl Harbor and Adolf Hitler, when they pissed off the Americans.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I'm speaking at an event on June 29th in San Ysidro. People like General Flynn, Tom Homan. It's Take Our Borders Back. Kim Yater's the director, just doing a marvelous job putting it together. And I asked him the question, and I'm not going to divulge any details, but I asked about security. And here's why I asked about security. And by the way, I got a satisfactory answer. But the reason I asked the question is, years ago, you and I were privy to information that got leaked that certain La Raza members were going to start executing large numbers of white
right.
people in public community events where they might gather for some purpose. And that's why I asked the question to Kim. Kim, what kind of security do you have? Because this would be the perfect time to roll the Chinese out with the La Raza and pull that kind of crap. They're going to get more than they bargained for if they do anything. And like I said, I'm not going to say anything to compromise what Kim told me, but I'm satisfied with that. But this is coming, and I want to kind of end on this theme here. I can't help but think, Paul, that Calexit's going to be employed. California is going to go to the UN as a protectorate. They'll let these Chinese become UN peacekeepers with blue helmets, and it'll be a thinly veiled a move towards extreme political persecution against people like yourself. Have you considered that possibility at all?
100%. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why they're coming to California so much. The Chinese view that they own California. This is their land.
Well,
We'll
Wei
take over.
Feng said that in a speech he made in
Right.
2017, the defense minister of, he said that we are the ones that discovered California, and the Native Americans that are there in the North American continent are Chinese descendants, which may be true. The old thinking is they crossed the Alaskan land bridge. He says they came by ocean. And Chinese coins have been found off the coast of California. That is true, ancient Chinese coins. So I don't know how true that is, but I don't think that gives them a property right. I think that's an excuse for what they
Yeah,
want to do.
well, we addressed this in our 90th grievance, which was our last one. We addressed this whole issue of the takeover of California, and our statement was at the time that we are not the province of the Jesuits, California, as the Chinese say. We are not a province for China. We are not anybody's province. We are a state called New California in the Union of States called the United States of America. And that was a public proclamation that had to be said, because in the world, their world, public proclamations have meaning and significance. And we put them on. We put that. That was 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, that we actually read that. But we had to say it because of this exact same thing that you're talking about. So the statement openly has been made that this is not theirs, this is ours, and that's the crossing the line business. So we'll have to wait and see. That's one of the things. That's one of the reasons why we go to Congress, in the next week and a half or so, to make all this stuff start to happen, that we become our own state, and that with the help of the Congress, we become a compact constitutional state
Okay.
in the Union of States.
Is House Speaker Mike Johnson receptive to New California?
It's I can't really say
Okay, good
it.
answer.
I can't. I really. I can't say what's going to happen, who we're going to see. I've been held to the confidences of that, and people will find out when it starts to happen. We're planning our press conference and all that stuff, and
I
one
hope
here
for his
or
political sake he is, because I've got some things ready to roll if you guys aren't treated fairly. Like who he has on his staff, and that's the minor thing.
that's I yeah that I know exactly
You
what
know
you're talking
exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
about. Yeah, I do.
But I'm telling you, all hell's going to break loose from my end and with my contacts if he's not receptive to New California, because listen, California can't be afforded to go down. We said this before. If the Oroville Dam went down, you got 50% of retail crossing I-15. Okay, that would devastate the country economically. Then you have this huge breadbasket that's there that supplies parts of the world and us with necessary foods like nuts and so forth. This would
Rice.
be devastating, not to mention the 2 million people that might die. So you look at this, Paul, and if New California doesn't become a reality, the Oroville Dam may as well break, because California is going to fall apart. And I guarantee you, the globalists will be there in the form of the UN to pick up the trash. And then the Chinese will be rolled out. And do you really see Biden doing anything to help the
No,
people of California? I don't
he's
either.
not.
It's like right now, the Chinese have warships in Cuba. If this were Kennedy, they'd be told, you got 10 days to get out, or we're going to bomb you.
Yeah, he'd follow the Monroe Doctrine.
I know, and because Biden's on the payroll of the CCP. Let's just be honest with you here. Okay, Paul, you talked about an event, and we got 1 minute left. Tell people about your event on the 27th.
Yeah, we're going to be down in the state capitol 11 o'clock. This is our fourth proclamation day. We've had three other ones. Every time we go down there, Gavin Newsom actually changes his political position. We were talking about child sex trafficking and everything and fentanyl at the border, and he's doing nothing about it. And just so happens yesterday, I think he read the Highway Patrol memo that we're coming down for the proclamation day rally down there at the Capitol. He starts talking about how he's got 400 National Guards now, guardsmen down at the border, which he has zero. He's lying. But this is the kind of stuff that we live in. So we are going to be pointing out those facts, statehood, all the things that we're talking about at the state capitol. It's a proclamation day. We're going to be putting out another declaration of default, and it's going to be very well attended. So I hope everybody comes down and supports this.
And last question here, how do people listen to your show, Agenda 21 Radio?
Agenda 21 Radio, you can hear us on Red State Talk Radio. That's redstatetalkradio.com.
And I'm on that too.
Yep. And also on Rumble. We're on Rumble and Cloud Hub and also on Twitter, several channels on Twitter. So we get
That's awesome.
We do a great job. I have a show coming up in just a few hours, actually.
but on that note, I'm going to let you go to bed. Paul, you've been generous with your time. Thanks for coming on. We got a lot of great information from you, and good luck on the 27th.
Dave, thank you very much for everything you're doing. And I thank all of your people that listen to your show. They're great supporters of not only you, but our program, too.
Yeah, they are. They love your show. Thanks, Paul. Take care.
Thank you.